This episode of Watch What Crappens is brought to you by our premium Patreon sponsors, Kelly Barlow, Cindy Gerson, Mia Hansen Aloha, Chrissy Dougherty, and Madonna Hines. Thank you all.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as always, is the wonderful and hilarious quail hunting, Dick's Sporting Goods going, deodorant dropping, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Perks Bachelor podcast. Hey Ronnie, what is going on?
Well, hello, Benjamin.
Hello.
Nothing. I'm going to New York in the morning, so I'm looking around my junky-ass house, and I'm so mad because I haven't packed or done anything. So I'm stressing out, and my favorite thing to do is to stress out when I can do nothing about it. Just sit here in my chair and talk shit for a couple hours.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Are you excited for your New York trip? What are you going to do there?
Kind of, but I moved away from New York for a reason. That place is hard. It's all stairs, walking, weather,
crowded spaces.
Like, everything's a pain in the ass, but it's also a great city. So I don't know, I'm half terrified, half lazified, and also I'm scared that I'm just not going to be able to walk so much. I might get one of those little hoverboard things like Sha-Sha has on Potomac.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye out, or at least the New Yorkers will, to see if you'll be drifting through the streets on wheels. Before you go to New York, though, you should vote, as there is an election today in Los Angeles.
So. Did it by mail. Thanks.
Look at you doing
your
civic
duty. Sorry you can't judge me right now, but did it by mail.
So mad. I went and did it myself. I had to walk up a hill, and I'm like, too much work. But I did it. And everyone else, if you're listening to this in time, go vote if you're in Los Angeles. It's important to vote. That's one thing we've learned, okay? But for right now, if you've already voted, we can talk about some Southern Charm, shall we not? Can we not? So, Southern Charm, last night's episode was all about hunting, because the whole gang was going to go hunting. The episode began with it was like morning in Charleston, and we saw things like Austin FaceTiming with Landon, who was like, that's her giggle yawn, and T-Rab just,
he's like, you're a treasure. And then Thomas saw camera, so he's like, children, gather around, children. Father is in his white jeans and ready to rumble.
Yes, pretty much. And then Gizmo was like growling at Craig. I love Gizmo, so I like that.
He was licking Craig's phone.
Yeah, so cute. So,
and then Catherine just randomly driving around to be in someone's neighborhood so she could just drop by.
She's still shooting solo scenes. So she, this time she rolled up to JD and Elizabeth's house. Wah! To visit, which is exciting.
She's like,
hi, JD and Elizabeth.
And JD's like, hoo-ah! Good to see you, girl. Come on in.
I got my gentry bourbon vest on right now.
Their little kids come up, and she's like, hi, children. She's like giving them little tiny bags of heroin. They're like, oh, you're such a good godmother. Come on in. So she comes in her double pig buns, and JD and Elizabeth sit in chairs opposite Catherine. They both put their face on their hand, you know, like on an armrest.
Yeah.
But they're doing it the opposite way. It was hilarious. And they're just staring at Catherine, and they're trying to do this in the most professional way possible, because last time they saw Catherine, it didn't really go so well.
Right.
And so JD's like, so what's going on?
Yeah.
And Liz says, we were hoping to see you at the Sip and See. Kinsey was there. So cute.
And Catherine was like, she invited Thomas and didn't invite me.
After having an affair with Thomas, that's weird. So Catherine is acting normal, but she's already alleging on national television that Thomas and
Snowden had an fucked affair.
And that Thomas is probably the father of her child.
And Elizabeth's like, and then she sort of like looks to JD, and he's like, he's basically like, I'll take it from here. Wah!
Well, something hurts your feelings, or something hurts Thomas's feelings. It'll make people uncomfortable, boy.
It's like, Catherine, how about next time when Snowden is crying into her salad at lunch, you show a little bit more empathy, and then maybe you'll get invited to the Sip and See, okay?
How about we talk about your baby's brain surgery when I'm not hating you? Okay.
So we learned that Catherine got a text message from Thomas. And basically JD and Elizabeth are trying to prod her towards having a civil relationship. They're basically saying like, so next time you talk to Thomas, how about you don't freak out on him? Wah!
He's like, well, he says, I had a talk with Thomas and I said, why can't you put your differences aside? And then it has a flashback of him telling Thomas, the children need the mother, Thomas. And Thomas is like, I need my jeans to feature my crotch and my ass in a way that reminds women of what a catch I am. Like, cut back.
We all need things. I need my form-fitting khakis. Children need their mothers, but, I mean, Deidre's there. I don't know what they need else from beyond that.
JD's only there to help. Oh, and to remind us, Gentry Bourbon!
Gentry!
Gentry Bourbon vest.
So then we see Shep.
Yeah.
Shep wakes up and he goes jogging. And I like watching Shep jog. He looks like the Wiener Schnitzel hot dog running away from whatever that hot dog runs away from. You know what I'm talking about? You ever see that Wiener Schnitzel hot dog running?
Probably the people who eat at Wiener Schnitzel. You've been there lately?
I've never been there. Have you ever been there?
I'd run too, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love a Der Wiener Schnitzel. There's one in the Val. So whenever I go to IKEA or somewhere over there, I stop at the Der Wiener.
I mean, I love a hot dog. I really do. Well,
it's terrifying in there, let's be honest.
I mean, I like their roof, though. I like that yellow roof. So it's like, I'm tempted to go in just for the architectural experience. But there is a place called Doghouse in Burbank, and I'm a big fan of that. That's my preferred hot dog restaurant.
I don't believe in expensive hot dogs.
Well, fine. I thought there was going to be more to that.
No, you know why I did that? Because I was opening a Milky Way. Why? Oh. I don't know. I can't eat it right now.
Their hot dogs, it's not that they're expensive. It's just they have a lot of toppings on them. I'll tell you one thing I don't believe in. I don't believe in Pink's hot dogs. That's one thing
I don't that's
believe.
Another overrated hot dog. I really just like the bread, the bun.
Yeah,
I just
or want Dodger dogs. By the way, if you're a visitor to Los Angeles and you go to a Dodger game and someone's like, well, you got to get a Dodger dog. No, you don't. Unless you want to eat, you know, like wet rubber. That's what you're eating, okay?
I used to get 10-cent hot dogs at the El Paso Diablos baseball games.
My dad
was like, we're bonding. He's really into baseball. I was there for that. I would spend my entire $5 allowance and just binge on hot dogs in the back.
Well, I mean, we all know the best hot dog deals is the $1.50 hot dog at Costco with the soda.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are good hot dogs. They used to be Hebrew National, but now they're the Kirkland brand, which is still very good. Yeah. And it's certainly better than the IKEA $2 for two hot dog situation.
Oh, yeah. Which
is, you know, those hot dogs.
You know, IKEA gave me a couple of cold Swedish meatballs once, and I've never been right with them since.
So that being said, Shep goes jogging. I don't know how far he jogged, but he just jogged to basically
like around the block.
Yeah,
it's around the block.
He barely even caught the sweat.
I haven't had drinks for 5 days. Gosh. I've proven I can be without alcohol for 5 days. Gosh.
And they show. Yeah.
I haven't gritted these notes, so I'm laughing at everything like it's the first time I've seen it. They show him in the Dairy Queen drive-thru binging on ice cream.
Yeah, I was like, this is the James Kennedy diet. James Kennedy rehab. Go to ice cream instead. And by the way, his Dairy Queen looks so good, I wanted to go out and get ice cream right at that moment.
I don't have a Dairy Queen by me.
I don't need it. I didn't need it to be Dairy Queen. I just wanted to get an ice cream sundae. And by the way, Sheppy gets this giant sundae and he puts it like on the passenger side to get his money, and then he totally sticks his elbow in it. He's got whipped cream ice. He's like, gosh.
So Whitney's like, welcome, mother. In place of alcohol, you should pick up smoking.
Renob. Butts boner backwards. So
there's no addiction like the addiction to vagina, am I right, bro?
Bro, yeah, bro. Yeah, let's go to Jumbo's Clown Room in Los Angeles, bro.
So they're gonna go quail hunting in Dorchester.
Are. Yeah, and it's gonna be right outside of Savannah. So in my mind, I'm like, oh well, here comes the crossover. But even this show doesn't even want to bother crossing over with Savannah.
Yeah, it's like they're terrifying. So Shep tells us, I've been hunting my whole childhood, gosh. My dad started me off with a BB gun, then a shotgun, then a machine gun, a tank, and then I just started lighting people on fire in the streets. Of course. It's a god, Sal. So violent.
So violent. And then they start talking about Craig and Naomi and that whole situation. And Shep goes, well, gosh, she basically has a duty to protect him, you know, like a fiduciary duty. Emphasis on douche. And I'm not going to lie, I actually laughed. I laughed at that joke.
I just like that these guys cannot let it go with Craig. They're so obsessed with hating Craig.
But I'm telling you, I always defend them in this realm because I have had friends who are like Craig, and you just become fixated on their ineptitude in certain areas of their life, and you just are like, oh, yep, there's another example of it. There's another example.
Well, I am here to say Craig can grow and change, because the next scene is Craig, and guess what, everybody? He's learned how to print through the Wi-Fi.
That's true.
Score! I mean, look, that's evolution right in one season. Okay?
Yeah. Even Gizmo seemed pretty happy with it. He was just sitting there, smiling. So Craig he's scared about where he stands with Naomi, because for the first time, it seems like things might not work out between the two of them. As evidenced by the fact that she walks in and then he's just totally cold to her. She's like, hey, Craig, how are you? He's like, God.
Hello, child.
Hello, child.
I like that he was pretending to be busy. So he just kept like pressing buttons on his computer and then picking up files. And it's like, well, just going over the inspection. Well, fiduciary bank balance ledger.
Craig, I can hear the Tetris music. No, I'm just researching things in Russia, because you know, Russia and, like,
algebra
WikiLeaks.
Russia.
Like, I think I figured it out. I think I figured out who was like leaking everything to Russia. I think it was this block here. Like, if you notice, it falls really fast, but you can rotate it, and I think I just figured out. Craig, you're not even making sense.
I'd love to talk to you, Naomi, but I'm printing something with no cords, so you're going to have to wait. Whoa, watch that. Wow. So, you don't even care, do you? Thanks a lot for the support, child.
Turns out you can actually print something where it's like edgeless printing. It just prints all the way to the edge of the paper, but I guess you wouldn't care about that very much, child.
So did you notice that on his computer screen, he was working on a logo that said flawed, spelled wrong? Or I guess that's his clothing line.
I was surprised we didn't see more of that, because it clearly was a logo. And I was like, oh, and now here's a clothing line to go on top of the real estate and the bar exam and the carpentry.
Who wants to wear underwear called flawed? Nobody.
Well, it's either flawed or packing. Which one do you want to choose between invite only Cabo and this one? So I like that Craig was saying, so she's like, there's tension between them. And I don't remember if he says to us or to her that she's like, Naomi was out of control at the Sip and See. Like, what? What?
She's like, do you want to talk, Craig? And he's like, well, like, it's the thing is, like, I wasn't wrong. And she just sighs and he goes, you were rude and you left me. She goes, I had to get a gift. I had to run errands. I had to get there on time, and you were late. And he goes, but that's not true. And then he folds his hand like he's the boss. He's trying so hard to look like, look, home office, wow.
Yeah.
Break's almost over.
And I like he's like, no, I wasn't late. You know, it wasn't that I was late and you left me. You left me. And she's like, well, if we weren't late, then why did you show up late to the party? You had a car here. He's like, it's, you know, I wasn't late.
Yeah. He just sticks with his argument no matter what. It's so frustrating. And he also does that thing, which I think I've mentioned before. I knew this stripper, and when she got too old to be a stripper, she started pretending she was really smart and she would learn new words. And so whenever we would get in an argument, she would go, well, I have a different opinion. I'm like, it's math. Like, it's not an opinion. If I say, like, make a right on the next thing to get to the store, she'll be like, I have a different opinion. It's not an opinion. It's a location. And that's how Craig argues. He's like, well, that's not my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's like, basically Naomi says, okay, fine, whatever about the late thing. I was really embarrassed, you know, that... about how you talk to me. You know, you can't call me a child. I didn't like the way you talk to me. And he's like, well, you were just as bad as what you said. You were airing our dirty laundry. She's like, no.
You contributed.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm a little bit on Naomi's side here. I mean, sure, she did air the dirty laundry a little bit. But at the same time, you were late. And when you're chronically late, at a certain point, you forfeit the right to not have your laundry aired. That's what happens. That's the revenge that happens, because you push people to frustration and then you never know what's going to come out.
True, but Naomi is falling into the trap of like fighting in front of their friends to get someone on her side, because yes. And I can see that it's so frustrating for her that he never admits any fault.
Yeah.
So she's just trying to get people who already know he's an idiot to remind her that she's an idiot, but it makes him look bad as a couple. And yeah. At that party, she was cornering that poor lady. She's like, but then he was late. And then what are we supposed to do? Because he was late, after telling everyone else.
Well, so. To be fair, she shows up and she's like, whatever. He was late, so I decided to leave. And he'll just come on time. And then he was like really mad at her. And then he was like, whatever, child. And then when he said, whatever, child, that's when I think she really started doing the cornering. Because that was really obnoxious. It's one thing to be like, well, he's late again. So I decided, you know what? He just have to come on his own. That's one thing. But... to call your girlfriend a child and a moron in front of other people, that's next level.
Yeah, that was
level.
Wrong. But that was at the end. She had already started with that older lady where she's like, after telling all the friends, and then he joined in. Remember when they were like fighting with old lady by proxy or whatever?
Yeah.
She was their proxy war.
He's like, yeah, but she just left me all alone. That was uncool. She's like, well, he's always late.
And that old lady ran the hell out of the kitchen.
He also acts as if he was abandoned in the middle of the woods. You're like five blocks away in your apartment. And Naomi's like, I had to get a gift. You know, the implication being like, I actually have more responsibility in this situation. And not only did I have more responsibility, I still managed to get here on time.
Child.
So then we go over to...
She tells him she doesn't want to fight anymore. She goes, I'm not going to fight with you anymore until there's a counselor to tell you how ridiculous you're being. And he's like, well, okay, then.
How about you stop quoting Tina Turner? How about that? Because you're not Tina Turner, okay?
Instead of printing this in front of you, I'm going to say to a putoff. So take that, child.
I didn't hear what you said, but I just heard a noise and it made me laugh.
Instead of printing, I'm going to save that to a putoff on Wikipedia. I thought, how did I not get Ben with a PDF joke?
Because I just heard you go poof. So I was like, huh? But put a.
Yeah, I'm just gonna like,
So then we go to a shop in town where Whitney, Austin, and Shep they're shopping to go quail hunting, and it's one of these like, you can tell it's an expensive store where they sell like old fashioned, good old boy hunting clothes that all. You know, speaks of a lot of money and looks kind of good. And, you know, lots of earth tones and elbow patches and vests and jackets and little caps, you know.
Lots of plaid and, like, that stuff that JD wears in his vests where it's, like, sheepskin, but it's made out of, like, poly something. You know, like that fake sheepskin shit.
Yeah, it's basically a way of saying, I have lots of money. And and so they're there, and Austin is like, I'm like a city guy. I mean, I don't even know what the fuck a quail is. I'm like, you should not be saying that loudly.
Also, your mouth shouldn't be moving that much for as few words are coming out of it.
Yeah, don't brag about your quail ignorance, okay?
Whitney's like, yeah, well, I like hunting. As long as we eat what we kill.
Okay. Sustainable, brah. Sustainable. So they're just, you know, they're trying on different sweaters and things like that. I actually really liked the sweater that Austin chose. And I liked that. One thing I really enjoyed was Craig calls up and, you know, we don't hear Craig's have the conversation. We just see Shep talking and Shep's like, oh, Craig, hi. Oh, gosh. Oh, he's at Dick's Sporting Goods. Gosh.
They're all.
And they're laughing. And I just love that degree of like elitism and snobbery. It just sort of spoke volumes. I think that's what's always been so good about the show. The rich assholery, you know, laughing at Craig for going to Dick's Sporting Goods instead of, you know,
the poor one's calling from his prepaid Cricket phone. Of course.
Because God forbid you want to spend, you know, $1,000 on an outfit you're going
to
use once.
It looks stupid. I mean, they're stupid anyway. That shit's all JCPenney, like, conservative dad stuff in Texas. Right. So then, of course, they start getting catty right away. And Austin says, is Landon coming? And Shep's like, of course, I don't care. Why is he asking you about Landon? Wait a minute. He would be great with Landon.
Yeah.
I would really be happy to see that cultivated because I wouldn't fuck her with Moby Dick's harpoon.
And then he basically is like, you sort of like Landon, don't you? And then Winnie goes, you sweet on her, brah? You sweet on her? I'm like, oh, don't God. Say that.
I like when he says things from the 50s, but then adds a bro at the end.
And then Austin's like, nah. And then he doesn't really say anything. And then Winnie just goes, all right, okay. I'm like, shut up, Winnie.
Have you taken a shine to her, brah?
You going to go steady with her, brah? You going to go steady? It's just
so now let's go over to Patricia's house.
Yeah, Patricia is reading something on her phablet, which is in a case that looks like it was like someone took the Snuggles bear and turned it into an iPhone case.
Yeah, it's a gutted plush stuffed phone case, and you know that dog has fucked that thing so many times.
So many times. There's a reason why that iPhone doesn't come out. It's glued.
Patricia's like, why am I growing hair on my hands? Chauncey
always gets aroused whenever we rent outrageous fortune from Uncle Joey's Blockbuster video chain.
Need to keep Chauncey away from the rabbit every time there's an iOS update. His little lipstick starts vibrating like a earth on fire.
Now, excuse me while I try to fit this Snuggles bear inside my caftan pocket.
Michael's like, Madame, Miss Landon of the Greens is here.
Stupid. She's on dirty patio furniture, like pretending to swipe on a dog fuck toy. Okay, you can drop the pretense.
Yeah, and so they get bourbon slushies, which look delicious. I mean, this show is really doing a lot for me between the ice cream sundaes and the bourbon slushies. I was starving/thirsty.
Yes, well, you know, Patricia can have that stuff. She has caftans.
Yeah,
her own caftans, line of caftans
that have like a billion pug faces on them with creepy eyes.
She's selling those online now. Yeah. So, which, you know, a true Southern matriarch would be mortified to have an online store, but
she sent a pair of pajamas to Andy Cohen that has like the dogs on them, and he like took a picture in the pajamas. And he's like, oh, look how cute I am in pajamas. I'm like, shut up, Andy Cohen. I want some.
Oh, I forgot to say when he announced Landon, he's like, Madame Landon, I was in the midst of walking the pug. I was like, you were in the midst of it, really.
Chauncey. So Landon
asked for a bourbon slushie, and she's like, I'll have one, too, to be polite.
And immediately, Patricia starts trying to sell Landon on T-Rav, saying, you know, like, all the good things that that he would bring to a relationship, and Landon is basically like, yeah, well, I mean, he does have a lot of qualities that I'm looking for, you know, drug abuse, and, nice khakis.
He lives next door to a drug dealer.
Foundation.
I like when Patricia said, you're going shooting, aren't you? Whitney spent many years shooting in England. Loads into a sock. Get over yourself. Well, he was at boarding school. Awful woman. So she's like, well, it's just that Thomas has so much baggage. I mean, Catherine, and then, like, kids. And then I said, you want to go shooting with me? And he can't because he has a felony. So. And she goes, well, any true adult has baggage.
Yeah, I mean, Cathanon says that Thomas has a wealth of problems that she can't even fathom. And that's when Patricia goes, well, you know, grown-ups do. And I was like, not every grown-up has a felony.
When I was 20,
and a crazy baby mama, okay?
Yeah. When I was 20, I found older men more attractive because money. It's all about the money, honey.
Yeah.
At least, you know, at least she doesn't lie about it.
She does. She's like, you have to find a mate who is your equal or better in terms of education and background and what they can offer you. It takes money, honey. Like,
you both accomplished nothing, so you're perfect. You're a perfect pair. When she says, I have a soft spot for Thomas. I'm sorry, but he's turned out to be an exemplary father. What other children do you know that have their own guest house and a paid-for mother?
The way that he stuffs them into that back house and sees them 1 hour a day and leaves them with that lady, Deidre, I think her name is. I don't know. I seem to remember her working at the Denny's for years. Really knows how to serve a moon over Miami. I mean, a wonderful selection for a make-believe mother. I think he is doing a wonderful job curating the parental types in those children's lives.
He's almost learned their names without a Chiron to say.
He almost called one of them Chiron. I said, no, Thomas, that's not the name of our people, if you know what I'm saying.
At least he stopped calling the new one, hello, my name is. So cut to Thomas trying to pretend he's a father. He's like, here's your socks.
Here's your socks.
Looking
the other
around like,
But Landon's like, I know, it's just that, you know. And then Patricia's like, Landon, you have to be a risk taker. You know, for instance, I'm wearing a caftan that's covered in creepy faced dogs. That's a risk that I took for my life. I'm going on Shark Tank. I'm going to try to sell it to Bethany Frankel. She's a Jewess from New York. She'll like it.
You think Chauncey dreamed of a gorgeous bunny with a Siri to talk to at night? No, but he just kept humping my phone until it happened. He's a real risk taker.
He took a risk. You know what I call a risk? Replacing a regular old bell with a bell that looks like a turtle that you can ring by touching its head or its tail. That's what I call a risk, Landon. You need to find your turtle bell in the shape of a penis attached to the shape of a Thomas Raven nail.
If you're timid and settle for the status quo, you'll lead a life of quiet desperation. Like, you just described Whitney, and he's got all the damn money in the world. I've never seen anyone more quietly desperate than Whitney.
Landon, the last thing I want to see for you, a beautiful young lady who doesn't know how to build a website, is for you to wind up with a man who doesn't have substance abuse problems or a crazy ex-girlfriend who might come stalk you and send Amazon Prime packages that are filled with bullets and spiders.
I find it amusing that Patricia's never trying to hook Whitney up with any of these girls.
Well, because Whitney already has a strange Australian model friend.
So Thomas, let's see, Landon, what? Blah, blah. Oh, no. I like when Landon says,
yeah, but until everything is settled with him and Catherine.
And she goes, hasn't it been settled? No.
No.
No, it hasn't. Specifically, it is not. You don't get to just get some 22-year-old to drop out babies and then pretend she doesn't exist. That's not really how that works.
Especially not Catherine Dennis. Catherine Calhoun Dennis, okay? She is a special type of lady who contours her face with tar, okay? She will not be forgotten.
I will not be ignored. Thomas.
You know, Ronnie, I think that Patricia's caftans would make a wonderful gift. And, you know, I know some people are celebrating their birthdays. In fact, some people are celebrating their birthdays today.
Yes, there's a girl out there named Courtney Oberholzer who has a husband named Eric Pelissier. Okay? She's turned 26 today.
Yeah.
Today, May 16th. Okay?
Would you believe it? They live in Santa Cruz, California, if you want to stalk them. And they've only been married a couple of months. But today is her birthday. And even more importantly, she has an Instagram for a dog called Fitzgerald the Corgi. And so, clearly, would you believe it? She needs some corgi pajamas, Patricia.
Like, seriously, an Instagram for your dog? Like, I can't. What am I supposed to do right now? Sing you happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. There, I did it. Like, walls up. Seriously, done.
So, Courtney, we're giving you a happy birthday shout-out because your husband reached out to us and let us know that you're a super fan, you've been listening forever, and that you're a huge Bravo fan. So guess what, Courtney? Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
You know what? Actually, I think that Courtney would do would be really good for Courtney's birthday.
Girl, any new couple or old couple.
Yeah. They could use a new mattress, specifically a Casper mattress.
Yes, Casper mattresses are amazing. Ben has one and sleeps on it every night.
Every single night. I sleep on a Casper mattress. And the nights that I don't sleep on a Casper mattress, I'm like, where's my Casper mattress, bitch?
Yes, hell yeah. Casper makes a premium mattress and sells it online for a fraction of what it would cost in a store.
Yeah, their business works by continuously developing their mattress using feedback of nearly 500,000 customers, including me.
Real customers, like Ben, have said this mattress is like sleeping on brioche. And like being cradled by the tinkling of baby laughter in the moonlight.
Well, you know, buying the Casper is easy, almost as easy as Thomas Ravenel. You just have to order it online. It's delivered to your door in a compact box, and there's free shipping, free returns.
It's available in the U.S., Canada, and now even the U.K.
Considering we spend more than one third of our lives on a mattress, it's so important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out. It's room worthy.
Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/crappins and using crappins. Terms and conditions apply. Now remember, Ben.
Wah! Their San Francisco R&D team recently developed a proprietary foam that relieves pressure and increases airflow.
With an average of 4.8 out of 5 stars across more than 30,000 global reviews, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress.
So, you guys, I know we're doing funny voices, but this is a serious, serious matter. Really, you must remember, you'll get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/crappins and use the promo code crappins. 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 Just remember crappins. Casper.com/crappins.
Yeah, casper.com/crappins.
Terms and conditions apply. So now it's time for the big hunting trip, and everyone's getting into cars. Austin is still like, I still don't know what the fuck a quail is, as if that's like a badge of honor for him. And there are different cars, and one... So in one car, you have Shep, Whitney, and Cameron, which I like that car. That's like the shady car. They're just doing shady gossip the entire drive. I secretly wish I was like the fourth person there because I like it when the three of them get together and just talk shit about, you know, Craig and stuff.
I liked Whitney's baggage, his long gun, and then a Louis Vuitton bag.
I didn't notice that. Christ. That's hilarious. So Shep. So the thing is this. One thing we didn't really touch upon is that. Back at the hunting shop, two things happened. First of all, they talked at length about boots. Whether you're going to have boots that are going to be snake-proof or not, but boots, 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 everyone get boots. The second thing is that when Shep asked Austin how things were going with Chelsea, Austin kind of demurred. He was like, oh, well, you know, because he didn't want to give Shep anything because he didn't want Shep to get involved or to be a cock block or anything like that. So Shep interpreted that as Austin saying that, like, things are not going that well. So Shep is like, gosh. Things aren't working out well with Austin and Chelsea. Gosh, but Austin and Landon could be a thing. And I was like, I have to say, I kind of am enjoying how this season is turning into a weird version of Emma or some Jane Austen novel in my mind. You know? Because yeah. You have Cameron is trying to get Shep with Chelsea, but then Chelsea wound up with Austin by accident. So now Shep is trying to get Austin with Landon. so that way it frees up Chelsea, so that way Shep can get with Chelsea, and he gets Landon off his back, and Landon's just trying to get away from Thomas Ravenel.
And Cameron just is trying to not get impregnated by anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care what happens. Just don't put it inside me.
Yeah.
So in the other car, you've got Austin with everybody else, and he's sitting in the front with Chelsea. And she's like, I love a man with a big truck who can shoot things. He's like, whoa, I'm going to do it then. She goes, what if you like hunting and you become a man out there?
He's like, whoa, whoa, one thing at a time. Let me find out what the fuck a quail is first, okay?
How do people even climb up to trucks that big? She's like, stop it, you're turning me on. So then in the other car, Cameron's like, Shep, when you think of Chelsea Nakey, do you get a tingle in your britches? I was like, oh my God, Mima. Jesus Christ.
And he's like, yes.
You're not 70.
Yeah. So he says yes. She's like, there's still hope. He's like, gosh, no. Gosh, yes, secretly.
Tingling britches.
And then Craig texts Shep and is like, bring boots. I forgot mine. And they all just crack. I was like, of course. Craig forgot his boots. After all that talk back and forth about whether or not he should get the snake boots or not, he doesn't even bring the boots at all.
Well, good. He's poor. He should use their stuff. He probably knows that they were making fun of him while he was at Dick's. He's like, fuck this.
Yeah. But why would he also say bring boots? They're like, they've been driving forever at that point.
Yeah. There's Craig for you.
Yeah.
So Shep is, couldn't write this line down properly, and I don't even remember it, but I liked it when he said, wait till you see what Whitney's wearing to the hunt.
Yeah.
It'll what did like, he say?
He said, it'll be like Lord Fauntleroy. And I was like, and I was like, huh? And then I looked it up, and apparently there's like this there's a children's book called Lord Fauntleroy, and it's like a whole thing, and there have been movies and this and that. Somehow I missed out on Lord Fauntleroy.
Movies that only play in boarding school. These poor kids.
You know, Shep is always good. He's been pretty good for like a literary reference. You know, he really is. He said what he described
he's
himself
smart
once.
That's what's so frustrating. He's yeah. So smart. He's like, I don't know why I can't find a girl, gosh, because the only people on your level are like home.
Yeah.
Man, it's some bar trying to fuck a 20-year-old.
Well, it's I mean, he did call himself maybe the first or second season overeducated and underemployed, and that's what he is. He's really smart, but he doesn't want a smart lady, I guess. I don't know.
Who knows with him? So the cars arrive, basically, and Shep's like, Craig, you look like you're going to the beach, gosh.
Because Craig is wearing, like, a tank top, and everyone else is in their, you know, bagger Vans clothes.
Well, don't worry. We stopped at Walmart, and Craig got boots.
I thought you were breaking into Patti LuPone for a second. Hunting.
We've been to the Walmart and Craig got boots.
Don't cry for me, quail in the bush. The truth is, you never hunted me.
I like when Whitney's outfit was so silly. He looked like a villain in like a cartoon from the 80s, you know. And Cameron says, he looks like Benjamin Button when he first came out. It's like the old man, Benjamin Button.
I feel like Whitney looked like an episode of the A-Team where they had to go undercover in, like, hunting garb. You know, where it doesn't quite fit. You're like, wait a second, I can tell you're still Murdoch.
You know, Mr. T really would make this show sing.
they need a Mr. T on this show.
They really do.
He would just be like, what was Mr. T's big line again? I can't remember it.
Something. Foo!
I want to say what you're talking about, but that's different strokes.
Way to race it up.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Way to be racist.
Racist.
Okay.
Black icons, the early 80s.
Arnold.
I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry.
You're like, I think he used to say, give me a Frank Oshawk, trying to make it to the
top. What was that thing that Mr. T used to say when he dropped the dust buster into the fish tank?
Jello pudding pop.
No, for real. Why can't I? It's okay. I got to look this up because this will truly annoy the listeners. Mr. T quote. Like he
something,
has a super.
Something, something. Boo.
I got to find it. Pity the fool.
Ridiculous.
I pity the fool. I think it's I pity,
I pity the
fool. The
fool? That's what it was?
I'm pretty sure it's I pity the fool.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Which would still be very appropriate for this show.
Ooh.
I pity the fool.
There you go. We did it. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yes, I pity the fool. Everyone, we figured it out. I pity the fool. I pity the listeners, actually. That's will be our quote. I pity the listeners for having to sit through this episode of us.
Well, we're in a freaking crazy place today.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What else here?
So they go hunting, except for Cameron and Elizabeth, who are just going to go fishing. But they're hunting, and it's funny. Again, they're all dressed Bagger Vance, and Craig is there, and he's dressed like he's going to go deer hunting and stuff. He's wearing, like, again, like a tank top with one of those bright orange dress vests on. Not a dress, but a vest on, you know? And yeah. JD's like, "Wah!" Or maybe it's Whitney, who's like, "You look like you're about to work a roadside crew." Which, again, was such a multi-layered moment of snobbery, you know? It's making fun of his naivete, the fact that he wasn't born into this lifestyle, he doesn't know how to dress, and the roadside crew thing. But at the same time, it was true. I'm caffeinated, everyone. I'm caffeinated.
I'm trying to see. Oh, what? Here's what my next note says. Austin on phone with ugly lantern yawning. That means I accidentally hit go back to the top. So let me come back here. So I like that what's his face? JD and Liz arrive. And they don't even get to say that much. But every time JD's here and I get excited. It's like, "Hey, everybody!
Quiz!"
All right, so Shep starts giving Craig shit. He's like, "Why do you forget everything? Gosh, shirts, boots, Craig." And then they're like, "Here's our driver, Gerber." And he's like, "Hello, I'm Gerber." He's like, "Oh, what are we going to, Fantasy Quail Island?"
You know, they were all like, "Gosh, this is so weird. It's a non-white person. Gosh. That gets
we
to
have
talk.
To pay him
Gosh.
Overtime. Gosh."
So they he's like, "Here's how you treat the birds. Look, the dog see a bird, and then you say, 'Go, dog.' And then the dog go, and then the bird gets scared and fly, and you shoot it."
Craig's like, "Got it. Shoot the dog, right?" "That's okay. I played Duck Hunt."
What, you guys don't have hot dogs where you're from?"
"Hey, why does the dog keep laughing at me?"
So I like at one point, so Austin is like really good at it. And at one point he just totally shoots a quail and you just see JD go, "Wah, wah, wah."
And Chelsea goes, "Who was that?"
And he goes, "That was me." And she's like, "Oh, that makes me hot."
"The way you shot that defenseless quail. Man, the only thing that could have been better is if you were standing in the bed of a truck."
And then the girls are fishing. Cameron's like, "I don't know if I'm ready to be a fisherman. I don't know if I need the responsibility of a fish in my life. What if I just like being myself with some Cheetos?"
"Hey, I got a little voodoo doll for this fish."
Did you see poor Craig? So I vacillate between feeling so bad for Craig and just thinking he's such like a sweet, lovely, you know, Craig, and sometimes being like, "Ugh, Craig," because, you know, he did forget his, you know, he forgets this, he forgets that, he's late, you know, we all know people like that, that they're always a mess, and you're like, "Oh my god, get it the fuck together." But then you see Craig and he like doesn't really know how to shoot the gun, and he almost shoots a dog, and I don't know if you noticed it, but at one point he had a giant welt on his face because clearly the gun, the kickback, got him in the face, and I don't know how the cameras missed that, but his face was swollen, the poor guy.
Well, that happened to Cameron too on another trip. She's like, "I don't cheat because one time it knocked my eye out."
It would happen to me. I guarantee it would happen to me. And I would hit the dog, and not on purpose.
Yeah, I was worried for those dogs. I'm sure a lot of them have died.
I once went to the driving range and I hit a golf ball and I hit the little car, you know, the little car that picks up the golf balls. I hit it square right in the middle of the windshield. I'm a terror with projectiles.
I'm a terror with projectiles. I need to put that on a shirt. So Naomi's talking to the girls about Craig again, even though she's not supposed to. But I think they did ask her. And she's like, "You guys, the thing that's really scary is that he legitimately doesn't understand that he's ever done anything wrong." So I'm trying to go. I have a lot of random notes, but then they just start getting wasted, right?
Well, I mean, basically, it's time my next note is that it's they're done with the hunting, and now they're washed up and getting ready for dinner. They got some hors d'oeuvres out there in the cabin because they're all in different cabins. They're all in one cabin. And they're waiting.
Like, where's Austin? Like, where's the story, man? Like, we got hors d'oeuvres over here. Gosh. Should we save some for him? It's like everybody knows that he's boning Chelsea somewhere.
Yeah.
And Landon says, maybe they're busy and don't care. And Naomi says, are they together? And she goes, are you kidding? I took a pic in the field and I said, this could be your engagement photo. And they didn't say no.
And then Shep starts drinking some more Knob Creek. So much for his sobriety. And I like Cameron's like, I don't think a week is sufficient of time to get rid of a wandering enzyme in your liver, but the heart wants what the heart wants.
Please don't ever be a rehab sponsor. It makes it sound so romantic.
I know. So then they all go to dinner.
Did you notice that as they're all walking up to the restaurant, they cut right when all the men are laughing like, oh, ho, 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 ah, ho,
yeah.
Ho. Good old like boy, good old boy, good old boy.
Theater laugh.
Yeah.
When we open the scene, you'll all be laughing.
Yeah. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. So then they're all there, and then Austin and Chelsea show up. And Shep is like, gosh, I called you for hors d'oeuvres. They were deviled eggs. They were delicious. We could have had a moment. Where were you guys? And Austin's like, I guess we were just doing things. Good excuse, Austin.
We were doing loads of laundry, laundry, laundry. Of course.
I was reading about quails on Wikipedia. You know, they're birds. Isn't that crazy?
And Austin was all excited. He's like, whoa, out there when we were shooting? I was like, pop, pop, pop. And now I want a gun. Like, I want a gun. I need a gun in my hands at all times. And Shep says, well, Chelsea likes dude with guns and big trucks. So he's just trying to get laid.
What are you doing, Shep? That's your entire MO.
Drinking my sadness. What does it look like? Like gosh, Florentine. Gosh. Like Prince Florentine from like the 15th century.
The inventor of the great brunch egg dish. You know, I'm getting drunk. I'm getting drunk like Miss Havisham. Did she get drunk?
Like Ernest Hemingway said, I'm thirsty. Gosh.
Fuck, we're going to have to start reading books, Ronnie, if we're going down this line of inside jokes with Shep.
Oh, I quote some books. Y'all better wait for some Big Little Lies quotes coming right at you.
He did. I mean, last week, Shep, he quoted Tom Wolfe. The week before that, it was like... I don't know.
And Nicolette Sheridan decided that she would never eat radishes again.
Nicolette Sheridan?
Not Sydney Sheldon, but mixed with the Gone with the Wind thing. But I think it was potatoes.
Gosh. And then the Count of Monte Cristo came in and said, I will get revenge on thee. Am I right, Austin? Gosh.
I love Monte Cristo. Shut up, Craig. Gosh. It's not a sandwich. Stupid.
Gosh, he's like a regular Antigone. Gosh.
So Landon suddenly starts flirting with Austin. This was so weird.
Well, so here's the thing.
It was really weird because then everything Shep was saying started making sense. Well, this was not normal Landon. She's like,
I took some pictures. Like, look at your dimples. Oh my God, you're so adorable. You've got dimples like me.
Gosh, settle down, Madame Bovary. Here's the thing, though.
Don't you even start talking about my ovaries. I'm not ready yet, okay? And if I don't want to talk about my ovaries, I won't, because I'm a woman of the modern age. I decide what to do with my bovaries.
Well, here's the thing. I was being flirty. I couldn't tell if it was the producers were making us think she's being flirty or if she was, but I'm going to put this theory out there. One thing we didn't mention is that T-Rav showed up with JD and Elizabeth for dinner, and Landon was like, well, Patricia's really trying to sell me hard on T-Rav, and I'm not into it, so I'm going to keep my distance from T-Rav. And part of me wonders if she was just drunk enough where she felt like maybe if I'm flirty with someone else, T-Rav will get the picture. Because that's like a classic tool that I think we've all used is, you know, to really go above and beyond showing interest in someone else. So Landon was being super flirty.
You got to be careful using that tool in front of Thomas, because he'll start thinking that's okay. And Thomas will literally fuck a waitress right in front of you. Like, he doesn't care.
Well, that's because Landon and I are OC, our class.
Oh, my God. That guy's such a pig. And yeah. He's still in white jeans. Yes. Like, can somebody just get that man in different jeans? So Landon's all over him, and Shep's like, see, there's something going on with Landon and Austin.
Yeah.
And Landon says,
I want to, like, press something, and then it comes out. And he's like,
I don't even know what she was
saying. She was saying, she's like, no, I'm just working on, like, you know, being a better version of myself, and, like, soon I'll be just like diamonds. I just want to be diamonds. And Austin goes,
well, something about pressing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Austin goes, well, press hard enough for long enough, and you will. And she's like, oh, I'm writing that down. Press hard enough and long enough, and you'll become a diamond, Austin.
Oh, Landon, it was in a Superman movie, so I think that's taken.
Superman, what a great concept. I'm going to write that one down, too.
Please not, why not? home again, jiggity jig. I'm going to write that down.
Oh, what am I doing with my life?
And he's like, well, it's no use crying over spilled milk. Oh,
writing that down. That's so roadworthy.
I don't even eat milk. That's so good.
Oh, my God. I'm lactose tolerant for that one.
I hate her more and more with every breath she takes. And that's such a shame. I used to love her.
What I love is Shep is now getting really drunk. And he's the drunker he gets, the more educated he becomes. Because Thomas is talking about kids. And then Whitney says something about, like...
How's custody going? Is it amicable?
And Shep goes, like,
amicable.
Gosh! I love the way you just said that. Amicable. Woody's like, well, yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know. It's just the way they say it. Jumbo's Clown Room, you know, a bunch of strippers, a bunch of slutty strippers talking.
That's
like
how
that.
They say it at the Jumbo's Clown Room in England. Okay, mother.
And then Thomas says, well, I want it to be participate.
Participative, participative. Chip's like, participatory. Gosh.
All right, fine. Participatory.
Gosh. So, yeah, I don't know. I just wrote
so
that.
Then Liz, out of nowhere, Elizabeth's like, well, we have spoken with Catherine. And everybody starts looking at her like, bleh. She's like, she really wants to be a good mom. And she is the mother, so we owe her a second chance. And you can tell she doesn't even believe this.
Yes.
But everyone's giving a dirty look. And Cameron's like, she's a godmom, so she has to be on her side. But why on earth would anyone believe she's changed? Guess what, bitch? None of your business, okay?
Well, then I'm surprised JD didn't pipe up and say, well, I think what my wife is really trying to say is we're sick of her showing up in her Jeep in our driveway, so could you just, like, fix things? Thanks. What?
Does anybody else have a living room that just has sitting chairs so you can't cuddle? It's hilarious when Liz goes upstairs crying. Blah!
Wah! We're always ready for a hoorah. Wah!
So, now's a good time to mention. Last week I had said that there were rumors on the blogs about Catherine failing a drug test. And this week Catherine released all of her drug tests since whatever and proved that she was not, in fact, testing positive for drugs. So suck it, haters. Okay, suck it.
Suck it.
Suck it. They look totally real. They were like Craig's, Mac art from back in the day, his clip art. A clip art waiter delivering drug results.
Okay, so then after dinner, they all go back to the cabin, and now they're just getting drunk, and Shep is even drunker. He's like, gosh, what if your dick grew bigger every year, and when you die, it's just too big? And Tira was like, well, then I would have died a long time ago. Hear that, no Deidre? Kidding. Where's Deidre? Oh, she's not here. I thought
to talk about old man dick. Good Lord. That man has, like, old man balls down to his knees, and I'm sick of seeing them. Get new pants.
What if your khakis grew tighter every year to the point where all the ladies just could not resist you until you died from too much khaki hotness?
What if?
What if your nutsack got so much bigger every year that to get a hard on, you had to use a garden hose? It's like, okay, this is, you're drinking too much, people. And Cam's like, falling down on a wall in the back. Shep jumps on Whitney and he falls. Yeah. And Chelsea's like, yeah, we're leaving.
Yeah, Austin and Chelsea are like, we're going to go and have fun times. And then Whitney, as they're walking out, Whitney goes, hey, Austin, don't come too fast.
Ugh. Disgusting. So, Craig, the next morning, we get a wake-up scene. And Craig's trying to put on deodorant, and I was dying. Like, Craig could not figure out how to work the deodorant.
Yeah, this is Craig's life in a nutshell. He's like, eyes barely open. He picks up the deodorant and just, like, drops it. Doesn't know how to hold it. And we have a gif of it on our Instagram, so, and our Twitter.
I love that. And Thomas is talking to himself in the mirror. He's like, Boku mercy. Participant amicable. Mercy, Baku.
Amicable. Fuck, I'm gonna start saying amicable now. It's like, what's that thing that I started saying incorrectly? You know, out of nowhere, I started saying apropos instead of apropos. I don't know why. Out of nowhere, I started going, well, this is apropos of nothing. And I'm like, what? Why am I doing
that? I hate that. Like, when you know, I read a lot, so I know a lot of words just from reading, but I never say them. Last year at Christmas, I was telling my mom, it's so macabre. And she said, macabre, Ronnie. No, right. Macabre.
Macabre. Is that a rapper?
I was like, that's how it's spelled. And she's like, well, it's not how it's said. Continue. And I was like, never mind, mother. And then ran up to my room and, like, hit my pillow a lot.
Oh, my God.
So everybody leaves, basically. And then we get to, everyone's like, where's, you know, Landon's like, where's Austin and Chelsea? And they're in their love shack. And we get the, like, and go into their love shack. And there's, like, a bra on the couch. You know?
And then it cuts to commercial, like, as if the bra was, like, a cliffhanger that we were all wondering, wait a second. Did they or didn't they? And whose bra is that?
Thomas left his bra.
Thomas. So, so they're both, Austin and Chelsea are in bed, and Chelsea's like, I was really turned on by you going into the woods and hunting something. It was good. Good hunting something.
I wanted to see you be a man and shoot something in the woods, and look what it got you.
And he's sorry.
No. I'm just reading through notes, really.
Basically, he is excited by this because they've had coitus, and he's like into her, and she's like, now, you know, like, I'm not really looking for a relationship. You know, you're not gonna be one of those pussy boys who's just gonna want to be needy and need to be around me. You're gonna be a man who wants to drive a pickup truck and hunt things, right? He's like, yeah.
Well, like, when I like someone, it's like, usually, like, you know, I just, like, really want to, like, you just want to be alone, fuck whoever you want, right?
Right.
Well, like,
I mean, I just sort of like to think of you as, like, a lager and I'm an ale, and together we make a flight, you know? I don't know what you're talking, unless you're saying hunting and pickup truck, it doesn't mean anything to me. Survivor.
I just want to, like, brand our truck with the flavor we like and just sell it together. She's like, oh, you mean, like, tasters? Like, no. Things you don't have to commit to. How about we just have a relationship like a sampler tray? How about that?
Why don't we just bring our two loves together, okay? I love trucks. You love beer. How about, you know, drinking and driving? That'll be us. Sounds good, right? No.
She's lying to you. Because you can see how she was flirting in the beginning, where she's like, what, you think you're smart? Like, she's kind of teasing him all the time. And when she really started to like him, she's like, you sure are a good hunter. Like, she was teasing him in a romantic way, so she's into it, whatever.
You remind me of Fred Dreyer, Mr. Hunter, you know what I'm saying.
My favorite thing about this whole town is that no one's expected to work out. I mean, that guy had, like, flappy arms and stuff, and he's, like, the God stud bless. Of the show. I want to move there.
I know.
I'll be married in a week.
Well, until that happens, we just will have today. I don't know what I'm saying. The point is this. It's the end of the episode, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You guys, thanks for tuning in to listen. On Friday, we will have our Southern Charm Savannah recap, which will be interesting. And tomorrow, we got... Oh, we have Below Deck Mediterranean, which I'm really loving this season. Oh, and we have to talk about the most important thing that happened in the past 24 hours for us. And by us, I mean not just me and Ronnie. It's a us as a Crappens community. Captain Sand Yawn started following us on Twitter, so, you know. That's,
oh my god, that's just, I know, fell over dead.
Let's just let that soak in, okay?
Fell over dead.
You guys, seriously, over dead napping. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow, okay? Bye.